Hello, everyone. Before the start of this episode, I wanted to make a brief mention of a wonderful campaign being put on by 34 various supporter groups in the New York City area to help fight the coronavirus outbreak in the city. It's called New York Kicks Coronavirus, and it is a football supporter club fundraiser, again, helping to raise money to help the coronavirus outbreak in the city. If you want more information on that, and if you would be willing to donate to this really great cause, you can find a link in the description box of this episode. And a big round of applause for Roma Club New York member Claudio Tambora, who informed me of this initiative. He asked me if I'd be willing to make a mention of it on the podcast, and absolutely, I was more than willing to do so. Again, so if you'd be willing to donate to this great cause to help fight the coronavirus outbreak in New York City, you can go to the description box of this podcast, and I'll also have a post on romapress.net about it as well. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with John Solano.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are all doing well. We hope you are staying safe during this quarantine, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining us again for another Looking Back episode. And Andy, it's the one I've been waiting for, the one I've been dying to do, 2011 and 2012. Man, so many adjectives we can use to describe this season. A rebirth, a new Roma, the season of tears, I guess.
Clusterfuck.
Yeah, okay. That's probably the perfect way to describe it because it was, man, it's so weird because I remember so vividly expectations were like, oh my God, we're getting Luis Enrique. Every newspaper, you know, this is going to be the Italian Barcelona, yeah?
Of course. Everything was the new Barcelona at that time.
That lasted about 6 months, and then it was disastrous. But the reason why everybody seems to love this season is, if you were a hipster, okay, now this was like still the infancy of Twitter. I was on Twitter, but you didn't have the Twitter was not yet the cesspool that it is today, right? It wasn't, like I said, it was still in its infancy. We're still trying to figure out what this thing was. So if you were like an OG football hipster, then oh my God, this Roma, particularly the market, this is right up your alley. I mean, this was exactly the kind of Roma that you would love because it is so many bizarre, I mean, bizarre in the sense that they might not have been great footballers, but just in terms of names, such a variety, I'm just looking at the list right now and some of them you can laugh at, some of them you could cry at, some of them will have you in the fetal position, rocking back and forth, wondering what in the world were they thinking. It was, wow. Rebirth doesn't even begin to describe it. So to get through this one, generally I have a coffee. But today I have a beautiful tall glass of red wine because I think that's what we're going to need to get through this one without sounding 100% negative about it. So is there anything particular that stands out to you this season? For me, it was two things. It was Lamella and how he was more or less in this huge transfer market, really the only bright spot. And then it was Pjanic. Well, okay, I should say Pjanic was good too.
Yeah.
But Lamella certainly at the time looked like he was above the rest. Yeah, for me, it was all about Lamella. Loved the guy. I remember that summer. Remember, it was the great debate of, is it going to be Lamella or Ricky Alvarez? Who's going to be the better player? Because that was, yikes. So that's what I remember from that season. I also remember the banner, and I forget which match it was. When things were not going well during the middle of the season and it was aimed at Luis Enrique and it more or less said, Luis Enrique, if you are a real man, you would resign. Probably the two moments in my, not moments because Lamella, I thought he was really one of the few positives. Oh, and the handball by Boyan against Fiorentina, because I was there, fantastic. I don't think I will ever, or you will ever come across more blatant, a more hilarious handed ball in a match. I thought that was phenomenal. But yeah, those are the things that I most vividly remember. What about you?
I think what I most vividly remember is the tragic decision that took place leading into the season afterwards of getting Zeman back, which it's because if you compare what Roma were going for with Enrique goes, it is totally the opposite of what happened by hiring Zeman.
Yes.
By hiring Enrique, who was coaching at Barcelona in different circumstances, and you basically take this coach who still is fresh and unexperienced, and you start off a new project, and you bring in all these different players, and as you said, a lot of them are super cringe, and you read some of those names, and you think to yourself, Jesus, is this the squad for Udinese in 2015? No, that was, but at the same time, you have also a mix of good, exciting prospects. And then what happened after that season when Roma went into panic mode and they got Zeman, which to me is one of the greatest travesties a club can do in this century, is to hire Zeman. Who is a coach who I believe belongs to the 1970s.
for a variety of reasons, by the way. Not only footballing.
Yes, exactly. Not only for his footballing attitude.
The epitome of a boomer. He is...
Of course.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine him with an iPhone? Jesus.
Oh, man.
And with a Twitter account. That would be... But the point is, to me, I think what I remember most about this season is, as you said, it's like it's on hallucinogenics, you know? It's like you're smoking the best grass mixed with LSD, mixed with everything in the world, and you put it all into one footballing season, and you just say, welcome for the ride, and that's it. And there is no seatbelt. There is no seatbelt, because this season was just so unpredictable, a roller coaster of emotions, and probably just not a very good start for a new Roma.
Like Andy just said, let's gather around in the circle. We'll puff and pass as we digest the 2011-2012 season at Roma.
Diceva Marco poco fa, gran senso della posizione per lui, però poi tarda a liberarsi del pallone, c'è possibilità per Lamela in area, recupera proprio Migliaccio su di lui, Lamela col tiro, ecco gol di Eric Lamela, il modo migliore per cominciare la sua avventura giallorossa, 7 minuti, 1-0 per la Roma, strepitoso gol di Eric Lamela.
Non poteva pensare un esordio migliore Lamela, c'è stata una grande ingenuità di Migliaccio che ha portato palla al limite dell'area.
So let's start with the transfer market, because this is probably the only reason why I wanted to do this season. This transfer market, again, yes, if you were a footballing hipster, this was like your wet dream. This was the highest mountain in terms of, like, you know how on Twitter how you have all these, I don't want to say that they're fake, but all these guys who claim to know about every prospect in the world from, like, the Ghanaian third division, they somehow know about some random fullback, yeah? That was basically, like, the culmination, or that was basically, like, how you could summarize this transfer market, because, let's be honest, most of these guys we had very little idea about, or I shouldn't say most of them. Stekelenburg, this is a guy who was in the World Cup, admittedly, I was very excited for. Disastrous.
Yes.
Jose Engel. Poof. No comment needed for that one. let's just go through the list. So the players that left. Donny left on a free transfer to Liverpool. Mexes left for free to Milan. That one was very painful. That one stung a little bit.
Yes.
Risa, he left for Fulham. Menez left for PSG. The other one that hurt a lot, Vucinic, he left for Juve.
Mm-hmm.
Giulio Sergio, he went on loan to Lecce. Stefano Gaberti, he went to Torino. Matteo Brighi, he went to Atalanta. And then I forgot about this one, but in January of 2012, Pizarro went to Manchester City for 6 months. I completely forgot that even happened. Thank you, Wikipedia, because I completely forgot that happened, because we remember he popped back up at Fiorentina, but I completely left it out of my memory that he left for Manchester City. So incredibly random. And then as for the transfers in, Stekelenburg from Ajax for 6.3 million euros.
Oh my
God. Gabriel Heinze from Marseille.
Talk about that. Talk about that. You Mexis leaves and you get Heinze. Wow.
Oof. Now, this wasn't the Heinze that was at Real Madrid, okay? This was a guy who abundantly clear was finished. It was...
Yeah.
It took all of one appearance to realize that this guy was done. We also had Jose Angel arrive from Sporting Gijón from 4.5 million euros. Pjanic from Lyon for 11 million euros. Eric Lamela from River Plate for 12 million euros. Boyan, little Messi, arrives from Barcelona for 12 million euros.
Oh my God.
Ooh, Pablo Osvaldo from Espanyol for 17.5 million euros.
My favorite DJ.
Yes. Oh, I can't believe he's back into football now, which is amazing.
Yes,
he came back for like one match and then Corona comes back. Isn't that ironic? And then Roma made the loan of Marco Borriello from Milan official for 10 million euros. And then as for loans, they brought in Kier from Wolfsburg, Fernando Gago from Real Madrid, and Fabio Borini, who technically, it was weird because he was at Parma, was purchased by Parma from Chelsea after spending, he had a good loan spell at Swansea City, but then, correct me if I'm wrong, because Wikipedia doesn't tell me this, but wasn't he a co-ownership, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
When they still had co-ownerships in Serie A. Yeah, I'm 99% sure he was a co-ownership product when he arrived at Roma.
What a weird career, man. That's if you look up the teams he's been at and the stretches. I mean, here, for a good chunk of games, he was our best player.
Yeah, remember, he went on that really weird run. I remember him, too, because there was one match where he scored a goal, but Totti was wide open, and Totti gave him this look. While we're talking about it, I hope I find it on YouTube. Totti gives him this glare that looks like he's going to strangle him because he should have had a goal, but Borini ends up scoring it anyway. But yeah, you know what? I know he's a co-ownership because, if I'm not mistaken, it went to the blind auction. You're an OG if you remember that. And now I know co-ownerships, those went away in like 2014, 2015, if I'm not mistaken. I love them, by the way. I can't believe they got rid of them. Now they have just loans with options to buy and then counter options. I completely hate that. I was a huge proponent of the co-ownership. Okay. I just confirmed he was a co-ownership product. So that was the summer. And that was the summer transfer market. Very weird, to say the least. Other than Pjanic and Lamela, what can we really say about this group of...
Nothing. Nothing.
Misfits.
Yeah.
I mean, let's start with the guy who, somewhere on the internet, there's probably a 750 to 1,000 word expose that I wrote saying how Stekelenburg and then a guy named... I don't even know if he's owned by Roma anymore. Alessandro Crescenzi. There's no way he's owned by Roma anymore. This is like 8 years ago. I said that those two will be stalwarts for Roma's defense for the next decade. So if you come across that, don't bother reading because clearly
Jesus.
I know nothing as to what I'm talking about.
Wow.
But let's start with Stekelenburg. We've talked about him before on this podcast and usually in a negative light. But he is like the example for as to why it is important for a player to learn the Italian language, right? Because in 2 years, this guy could say right, left, and I think basta. Other than that, I don't think he could even say hello in Italian.
But we've talked about him, I believe, the times we've compared him, or rather Olsen, to him, in the way that both of them did not really mix with the setting. They were not able to find their footing, just in a general way, not even performance wise. Just when I think of Stekelenburg at Roma, I think of a player who was completely lost and out of his element, and wasn't up to it. And seriously, if I think about the run that Roma have had of bad goalkeepers in the past, leading up to easily and perhaps the best player, the best goalkeeper in the world in Alisson, it's, if you think about Goicoechea and you know, and Doni at his worst, and Stekelenburg, it just, it's mind-boggling, really, how we even wanted to be a serious football team with those in our goal. Because, you know, and then obviously if you look who was standing in front of him in terms of defense, it's no wonder that he was having a lousy time at Roma.
Well, he came in with massive expectations, and because I'm a serious journalist, I actually did my research on this. So in the group stage of the 2010 World Cup, I completely forgot about this. I know he did very, very good. But in
the group
stage,
We all remember that, yes.
In the group stage, he conceded one goal. One goal. Yeah. Started every single match for the Netherlands. It was absolutely mind-boggling to me as to how much he actually struggled. Now, as you just said, I think it is completely warranted and completely fair to at least mention some of the guys playing in front of him. Terrible. Can't be defended. Can't be... you can't justify it in any way, shape, or form. I think we would all agree with that. I mean, you had Cassetti, you had Rossi on the right, you had Kier, you had Bordiso, who really didn't play a whole lot. You had Heinze, you had Juan, you had Kier, who was terrible. And then you had Jose Angel on the left. I mean, this is not a strong group of defenders. Half of them are on their last legs. This was a pretty poor group. We just have to say it. But, man, I mean, you can... I think somebody tweeted... the account IS Roma Nightmares, they had a good one the other day with Stekelenburg. I mean, this guy was just, he was terrible.
You really are a glutton for punishment.
We're talking about not living up to expectations. This guy didn't even fulfill a tenth of what we thought he could have. We thought we had our goalkeeper for the next decade. We did.
Yeah, yeah. And I think his career speaks for itself. I mean, it took
it
a nosedive
really
after
does.
That. And it's you know, that's what happens when you judge a player based on one competition, because that's what we as fans did, and that's what Italian media did, and what keep doing, and what we keep doing as well, is that we watch a player during one competition, and we base all of our expectations and judgments and opinions based on that. And it's in the case of Stekelenburg, it was just a massive blow to him and to the fans. And you know, with the lineup that he had in front of him, it's just like with Olsen. You know, we said the same thing about Olsen, is that, you know, you can't really expect him to pull off any miracles with Juan Jesus in defense, with Fazio at his worst and Florenzi at his worst. And the same went for Stekelenburg. And that's the difference between guys like Alisson, who are really good goalkeepers, and guys like Stekelenburg, who, you know, managed to hang in some mediocre Premier League team. That's all you can say about that. It's a lousy memory. And I believe he is not very fond of his time here. I don't even think ever spoken about Roma since then.
No, it's funny. I mean, well, first off, we have to say You're completely right when you say his career speaks for itself. After Roma, nosedive is probably the correct way to describe what has happened to him. Now, he had a season, I believe, at Fulham where he was the number one. But after that, it was just nothing. Second choice basically everywhere he goes. So clearly something was missing there. Probably would have been best for him to stay at Ajax. It just did not work out for him anywhere he went. Then after him, we have Gabriel Heinze, and then we have Jose Angel. Do we really have to say anything to those?
Yeah, two memes.
This was astonishing to me, but maybe I didn't realize he had this many appearances. But Heinze had 32 appearances in the league.
Fuck, isn't that like that's probably our highest player in terms of appearances, no?
Oh, I'm sorry, total appearances. So he's started 27 matches.
Fuck, that's a lot. Which, that's too many. 27, too many.
Now, his primary partner throughout that season was Kier.
Yeah.
Which was a guy, if you watched him at Palermo, you had every reason to believe that he would succeed, right? I probably of all the guys who failed at Roma that season, he might have been the most surprising because anybody who watched him at Palermo rated him. He was really good.
Yeah, and I think he did also a good job at Sevilla, and I can't seem to realize why he's been jumping from team to team, because I thought that at Sevilla he was fine, but at Roma you look at this team and it's just such a weird mix of things that don't work and things that do work but are not in a position to succeed, that you really have to wonder what the hell were they thinking by putting all this responsibility on Enrique and really having so many different expectations as the season progressed. Because you read the list of names here and you're like, Jesus Christ, like, what can you possibly do with a team like this?
Yeah, it's a really weird mix. I want to say Lamela and Pjanic because I think I have my hottest takes on Boyan. Now, this was a guy who obviously came with the most unfair of expectations because really,
yeah,
he's so young at the time. He's being compared to Messi. We all know he makes a debut for Barcelona at an extremely young age. He was 17 years and 19 days old. So extremely young. This is a kid. He's still 20 at the time. My hottest take, I think, for this season. So he had 37 total appearances in all competitions, 7 goals. He only started 13 matches. I am convinced. Now, wow. You can make the argument that the rest of his career speaks for itself, because to an extent it actually does, but I am convinced that he should have stayed at Roma. He leaves the following season for Milan on loan because Zeman doesn't think he has any use for him. I mean, 7 goals from only 13 league starts is not a bad tally. And other than that hilarious moment against Fiorentina where he did the handed ball, I actually don't think, I think he warranted more opportunities.
You know, I think, again, it's part of this whole season. There was a lot of decision-making that was, you know, too rushed. And in the long run, you look at it and you really have to wonder who was in the position of making some of the choices. And, you know, as you said, Bohan's career speaks for itself. I believe he's in Canada. Is he in Canada?
He is. I think he's in the MLS.
Okay. Well, I thought he was in. Yeah, he's in Impact Montreal. Okay. But yeah, that's. I mean, you look at it, and it's Stoke City, Mines, and Deportivo, and but that's. You can always say that after the fact, but that's what happens, I think, when you are in that setting, that place where Roma was at the time, that so many of these players, even if, you know, their careers didn't proceed as intended, a lot of it was due to how unsettling that whole atmosphere that particular season was. And it just, so many talents didn't really come to fruition, and there was so much tension there, and lack of communication, and just a lot of bad vibes, if you can say that. And really, I mean, you look at who really succeeded afterwards, and it's, again, as you said, Lamela, yes, who, it's mainly because of injuries, the career hasn't really taken off as we all thought it would, but Marquinhos and Pjanic, and that's what we're talking about, and that's a player of a really high caliber. Anyone else was like shot from the get-go. You had no chance to really succeed beyond this team.
Well, and it was interesting too, because obviously you have this new manager, right? You have a revolution of players. We obviously haven't mentioned it yet, but you have the arrival of a new ownership group. You have Palotta, or I should say at this time it was Thomas Di Benedetto, who was the first one to come before Palotta, but he was more of a front man for the short term. And then I think another thing that seems to be lost in history at this time, but if you remember, Enrique and Totti had a little bit of a falling out, right? Because initially he wasn't, you don't want to say he wasn't in the plans, but he certainly was benched for a long period of time. And Enrique did acknowledge it some years later, how the conflict with Totti helped him manage Messi when he was at Barcelona. But yeah, if just looking back on it, it was not only a revolution on the field, off the field. It was just all of this being combined into one, and I think that's what really led to this season being an absolute unmitigated disaster. Because
yes,
that's
yes,
what it was.
As you
it was
exactly
terrible.
Exactly. It's you know what it is? In my opinion, it's a half-assed revolution, because we say revolution, but you look at this team, and Pizarro is still here, but as you said, he somehow is loaned out, and Juan is still there. Vucinic has just been sold. Reese is not there anymore. De Rossi, Totti are there, but are not really having the best of times adapting to this new manager. They're all coming off the period with Ranieri. And it's just weird, because you kept some players, and some others did not feel as they were though part of the group, and it just wasn't bound to work. And that's not a proper revolution if you're really not taking a commitment to it. It seems like Roma were just flip-flopping, or we're doing this, but at the same time we're doing this, and instead of really committing themselves to, you know, maybe playing just youngsters and trying out the new prospects and giving this manager a chance to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, even Peralta was still there, which is just really, really weird. And then you had De Rossi there. He made 32 total appearances, but if you remember, he was playing that really weird role where he was more or less a central defender. Remember how deep he would drop in between the central defenders? It was really, really bizarre.
And we had Cassetti. My God, Jesus Christ, man. What is this?
Oh, Rossi was the preferred right back. What a mess. Now, the attack is sort of like the particular department of this season, because you have Osvaldo, who he makes 26 total appearances with 11 goals. Totti,
yeah, best player.
31 total appearances with 8 goals. Boyan with 37 total appearances, 7 goals. Fabio Borini, 26 appearances with 10 goals.
Lord Borini.
It's so weird because, so first off, Totti wasn't playing as an out-and-out striker. We all know it was more of that 4-3-1-2. He would play behind Osvaldo, Boyan, or Borini at times. Sometimes it would switch to a 4-3-3, but It was just a mess. Yeah, in Lamela, 31 appearances, 6 goals. Other than Lamela, that attack was, just not good at all. Osvaldo, man, what can we say about this guy? Definitely someone who thought he was way better than what he actually was. That all comes to fruition the next season with Andrea Zoli. We all know that in the Coppa Italia final. But, yeah, I mean, none of these guys were sensational striking partners. Lamela, again, was really the only one who had that technical ability and that speed. Borini, he was somewhat quick, but didn't really have much of a presence in the area. Boyan, as tall as I was when I was 10, and he stopped growing apparently when he was... I mean, it's just so weird, this mix of guys. It's basically like taking a bunch of mediocre guys, combining them into one group and expecting great things. Because kind of like
Milan in the last few years, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
If you think about it, what Mirabelli and Fassone did is very, very similar to what happened at Roma. Because you have some good pieces, you have some nice, interesting prospects, but you throw it all together and you think that it's going to work immediately, and it's not. And it was a big, big failure. And just looking at it is giving me a headache. And it's a shame, really, because I think in hindsight, we can all agree that Enrique deserved better. And, you know, even as disappointed as you could have been, it wasn't supposed to be like that. Not for him. It just, nobody could have succeeded with that team. Nobody.
No, admittedly, I think the midfield probably had the most quality of all in the entire team. But you just referenced the attack. I mean, all of these guys are gone within 2 years. Boyan, gone. Osvaldo, yeah. Gone. Lamela, gone. Borini, gone. These guys, by the 2013-2014 season, when Rudy Garcia arrives, none of these guys except Totti are there. So that really, that's all you need to know, right?
Yeah. When we're going to look at Rudy Garcia's time, that I think that's closer to what we think of a revolution. Because that I think that's when Roma really started from scratch on some level. And this was a doomed experiment, really. That's all you can say. We're going to talk about best moment, worst moment, but it's just such a mixed bag of empty expectations and just missed opportunities. It's actually painful to sort of remind ourselves where we were in 2011.
Yeah, and then in the midfield you had, Taddei was still there. You had Pjanic, De Rossi, Gago, Perotta, Leandro Greco. Wow. Mm-hmm. Fabio Simplicio. In fairness, if we're just talking about a preferred three of Pjanic, De Rossi, Gago, that's actually not half bad. Gago, though, was not good at all. I distinctly remember he had one goal, and I can tell you what goal it was. I don't know. I forget who it was against, but it was the cheapest goal I've ever seen because it bounced, I think, two, three, probably bounced a dozen times before it ended up in the back of the net. Astonishing that it even made it in as a goal. Roma obviously don't end up signing him permanently. He was a guy, though, that everyone, sort of like Heinze, that everyone got so excited about. Oh, my God, this guy from Real Madrid. He just needs a fresh start. Because the season before, ravaged with injuries. The season before that, didn't play much. And now the two seasons previous, he actually played a big role with Real Madrid. But he came here, man, and he was not good.
Yeah, I mean that season was more. You found your diamond in the rough in Pjanic, but man, you're dealing with some just such disappointing alternatives, and Gago being one. It's weird because we've had so many of those players like Gago, like Heinze, like Julio Baptista, where expectations are through the roof, or you're like, okay, he's gonna be good here, this is a different setting, still a big time player, and then it just slapped you in the face. And I think this season, in particular, was just full of those situations.
But in fairness, Pjanic, in my opinion, he actually showed something that now, in the following season under Zeman,
those two
did not get along at all. And it was, if we remember, in the summer of 2013, it comes down to Pjanic or Lamela leaving. And thankfully, Roma made the correct decision in keeping Pjanic. But I thought Pjanic did well. He had three goals to his name. He clearly showed, in my opinion, of all the new arrivals, he and Lamela were probably the only two that showed any sort of quality of being at a certain level. Now, with Pjanic, that's worked out. Lamela, between injuries and not being a first choice, we could say maybe that hasn't worked out in his favor at Tottenham. I mean, I'm looking back at it now. So at Roma, he had a total of 67 appearances and 21 goals to his name. At Spurs, he has 211 appearances and 33 goals to his name. So not exactly a phenomenal goal return, but I guess we can get to this when we discuss 2013, 2014. But what did you think when he left? Were you disheartened? Because I remember being on Twitter at that time, and a good friend who's still on there, Ross, he made a tweet something like, "Everybody, look, this was supposed to be the face of the Roma project, and they're giving him up." He was very disheartened at the time, and I know others were as well. Were you? Did you see him as sort of maybe someone who could be the base of a project going forward? I think most of us did, right?
I think what we also liked is that he was just so likable.
He was.
First and foremost, and he truly cared about this team. You know, he was one of those players that not only was he money, and he really was also the diamond in the rough. And you know, the goals they scored, and he elevated that team to something. It definitely was a blow to our expectations, because you were giving away a player that, you know, you really thought you could. Yeah, I definitely thought he was going to be the face of this Roma team. And as you said, thankfully that did, you know, they made that choice over Pjanic. In the long run, that paid off. But again, it's one of those players that, especially when, you know, you're just, that was pure excitement in a team that really wasn't that exciting. So
no.
That's all you have, and that's what we had, and that's what we all counted on. Unfortunately, it did not go the way we all thought it would for him. But his time at Roma, I think he's one of those players that still remembers Roma fondly, despite those seasons with Roma, and we still remember fondly. So that's what matters. I think just a really special talent, but most of all, a really likable guy.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so give me some of your best and worst moments of the season. I still go back to that boy on handball. I'm going to count that as my best and worst moment of the season, because all you could do was cry when it happened, but you could also laugh at how much of a complete and utter meme this entire season was.
Yeah, I mean, listen, let's try to be positive. Well, in positives, I really can name, okay, the positives are those two players brought into the transfer market by Sabatini in Lamela and Pjanic. That's a big positive for me, because that really gave us a shot. At whatever it was, it gave us a shot, and we got to see some really exciting players develop into something. Then I guess I would go for what really stands out probably was the Inter game. Which where we beat them, I believe it was like 4-0, and it was during that time where Borini was on a run, and it was a weird time, because I think that big win was followed by some disappointing results, but it was, that's, you know, that's the name of the game for that season. So I think that win with Inter was like a statement, I guess. It was like, wow, you know, we managed to do something. We are in it. And but then if I have to pick a worst moment, and there are a lot of them, I have to go back to that last minute winner by Mauri. like I have to go back to that because it's always a pain in the ass, and it's, yeah, those are my go-to moments.
Yeah, it's, man, just looking back on all of the results, it is a mix of depression. It's a mix of you can't help but laugh at it. Some of the losses are just so weird and bizarre. You just can't even believe that it happened.
Yeah, and each time you read a particular loss, you think, okay, that's when the season needed to be over. That, no, it went on and on and on.
Well, do we remember how the season started in the playoffs of the Europa League? Who do Roma lose to? Slovan. I mean, this random Slovak team full of, you know, Slovakian electricians.
Yes.
Roma lose to them 2-1 on aggregate. Just remarkable. We probably should have seen it from that moment on. That should have been the warning that, buckle up, everybody. This is going to be a lot of pain. Bring your alcohol, bring your rosary, because you're going to need it. And ultimately, that is what was required throughout that entire season. And I'm sure we will get to the following season, 2012-2013, in the next one, whatever people vote on. Because can we say that one was way more painful than this one? Because
yeah,
I feel like with this one, you were... Okay, so you were excited. Okay, Luis Enrique is coming in. We're bringing in all these players. We're going to look like Barcelona. But we know it's going to take some time, so maybe we're not expecting as much.
Mm-hmm.
2012-2013 comes along, and, oh, man, the Romanisti 1.0, as we like to call them, this is their nirvana, right? I mean,
yeah, that's their call. Yeah, that's their thing. That's their toy.
This is their guy. He's back after 15 years. He makes his triumphant return.
Jesus, fuck that guy, really, man.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that one way more in 2012-2013. But can we even say that this season was a disappointment, though? Because I don't even necessarily know if you could consider it that, because expectations were not exponentially high.
Can we say that this was a prologue to the disappointment that came afterwards, like of the following season? This is the sort of the initial setup of what is about to come. You know, this is, okay, these are the ingredients, and this is what may go right or may go wrong. And then boom, that's when it hits you. That's when all the juicy stuff happens, is in the season afterwards, where everything, all the decision making, all the weird results and just tension, everything culminated in the season afterwards with the sacking of Enrique, bringing on Zeman having this unbelievable, just weird relationship with every single player on that team,
every single one, all of them.
Oh my, except
Toxidis. Who does he get along with?
Yes. Fucking the only player he gets along with is probably the worst midfielder we've seen at Roma. One of the worst midfielders we've seen at Roma. And then it obviously culminates in, you know, in the finale of that particular season, which is notorious. But yeah, I agree. From one point of view, is that this is, you know, this is just the setup. This is the initial setup. And Roma handled it badly. This could have been handled much, much better, because there were some interesting things, some interesting opportunities. Roma just made the wrong decisions and they paid for it. So I guess what you're saying is that this is not the definite disappointment. The definite disappointment is what comes afterwards, which is really, it's, if anyone wanted to start following Roma, I guess that's the worst period to start following Roma.
I do, so that's a great point, because I genuinely sympathize with people who, if you started following this club at the beginning of this decade, oh my God, you must have some of the most painful and lowest opinions of this club that you could probably have. Yes. Because 10-11, 11-12, 12-13, I am hard-pressed to think of a worse three seasons to where you could start following and supporting a club, because all three were genuine, genuine disasters. And yeah, it was just, considering how the decade ended with 2009-2010, the following three seasons are nothing short of disastrous. So yeah, hopefully we could at least get you to smile back on this, because in the moment it is so terrible to be going through, because again, you when it's your club and it's happening to you in the moment, you just feel awful. Looking back
week
on
in,
it
week
now,
out. Yeah.
Looking back on it now, it is a mixture of hilarious and man, we must, how all of us don't have PTSD from this Roma. It is just crazy. It's
insane, and it's hilarious. Like, I recommend anybody to just, you know, YouTube, you know, Fabio Borini at his peak. I mean, the way he was celebrating, and Google Osvaldo in that particular year, and then Google Osvaldo in the Coppa Italia final. It's ridiculous, and it's funny, and it's at the same time it's a little bit heartbreaking, because you think, oh, what could have been. But it's just funny. It's funny to see how stupid decision making eventually catches up with you, and because that's what happened under Zeman. But it's also funny to sort of think, oh my God, you know, we've been a meme club for a long time. But those are our that's if you like to call Milan a banter team, or Inter with a banter, that's peak banter Roma, I think, in those years. Because it's everything that is messed up with this club times 1,000 times all the drugs in the world.
That's where we will end this one, everybody. Thank you, as always, for listening. We will put up a poll next week, early in the week, so you can all vote on what the next episode will be. We'll put up 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, 13, 14, and 14. 15, only one of which are actually good seasons. So maybe we can change it up next week. It is all up to you. So as always, thank you everybody for listening. We so much appreciate it. Please stay safe. And until next time, ciao.
Ciao.